Hello and welcome to Boring Conversations. I'm your host, Valerie King, multimedia editor with The Driller. Today, I'm joined by Rodney Bourne. Thanks for being here, Rodney.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Rodney is co-owner of Bourne Well Drilling in Waseca, Minnesota, a third-generation family-owned business that started in 1914. Bourne Well Drilling specializes in installing and repairing water wells and pump systems for farms, light commercial, and residential properties in southern Minnesota. Considering water well drilling trails back more than a century in your family, Rodney, was this career something you always planned for, or was it more of a winding road?
No, it was kind of I planned for it. I grew up in the house right next to the shop there, and as a kid, went out in the shop, played. My grandfather started a business. He passed away in 1960, so I got to know him for a few years of my life. And so my dad took in the other part ownership, and him and my Uncle Don owned a business. And so actually the shop was kind of like my playground, you know. I'd go out there in the morning, the guys were over there, and hang out with the guys, and thought that was pretty cool. And then, of course, the day the shop was locked up, we couldn't go in the shop or nothing like that. And I'd wait till they get home and back out to the shop and go hang out with the guys. And so, yeah, it was pretty cool, a lot of fun. And so then I'd go to work for my dad. He'd take me out on jobs, sites. And, you know, I kind of wanted to be just like him. It was pretty cool. So then when I turned 14, we were able to work for my dad and my Uncle Don. And so I started working for them during the summers. And so during my high school years, I worked for them. Then I graduated in 1975 and went off to Mankato Area Vocational School for a technical college for 2 years and took up sales and marketing. I pretty much knew the drilling end of it, you know, what to go on there, but the business end, really didn't know much about that. So that's where I thought maybe sales and marketing, you know, a little more about the business end of it would be a good idea. So I kind of planned, and I did graduate from Mankato Area Vocational School in 77, and then went on working for my dad and uncle. And I also had a cousin, Dennis. He was involved. He was 5 years older than me, and he pretty much followed the same track that I followed. You know, he graduated from high school and went on to college. He went a four-year degree in geology. And so him and I were working for our dads, and it was a lot of fun work there. And then eventually my dad passed away in 2003. He passed away, and he was 13 years younger than my Uncle Don. So my Uncle Don, he was still alive yet. So, and actually my Uncle Don and I, we were co-owners of the business for a short time. And I think it was probably around 2011, 12, summer, not really sure, summer's in there. He decided to retire. He was getting close to 90, and he decided it was time for him to step out. So he worked, he was 90 years old.
Wow.
So then my cousin Dennis, he took over as the co-owner. So Dennis and I have been owners of the company since then. So it was been pretty good.
That is what I would call a family business through and through. That's a great story. Thanks for sharing it. So you've taken an active role in the industry, most recently as president of the Minnesota Water Well Association during 2020. What would you say are some of the key objectives of the association right now, and why?
We're going to be celebrating our 100th anniversary this year, which can be held up in Brooklyn Park. And the dates of that will be the January 29th through to February 1st. And we're one of the oldest associations in the state, in the United States, and I think probably maybe second to those. I think there's one state organization might be older than us. So that's pretty exciting. We're an association working a lot with the PFAS committees. We got people on some of those boards working there. And now with this COVID, the Minnesota Department of Health, of who is our agency that we go through for regulations, it took a lot of their staff and moved them up from the water well part and put them up to the COVID. So they were short of staff. We were not getting communication through them like we should be. So we've invited some of the members of the Minnesota Department of Health to come to our meetings. So we get a communication going again between the two organizations, and hopefully get the communication back and work together and build up a program again that what it was, you know. So that's something we're working on. We also have a great lobbyist, Bruce Cleveland, who keeps an eye at the state capitol for us. So work very closely with him. This year we couldn't, but other years we made trips up to the Capitol and we visited our representatives and talked to them with some issues that we have and laws that are coming up that we can need to keep an eye on. And so it's been a real good working relationship there. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I really enjoy being on the association and meet a lot of new people.
That's awesome. I did not realize that you guys were approaching 100 years. So congratulations on that. Huge milestone. Yes. So you kind of spoke a little bit to this. Is there anything you'd like to add to what it was like heading up the association in the midst of a pandemic?
I like being the president in the background, you were there, but we're not out in front or nothing, and but we were able to hold our quarterly meetings. We masked and did our social distancing. So we're able to have those meetings, which was great. I think we have about like 12, 15 board members and we get together. And so, I mean, we were still active. We were still going all the time. We never shut down for the COVID. We kept our members informed. We have a newsletter comes out every 2 months, a newsletter comes out. So keep everybody informed what's going on there. But then we also have our annual convention, which is held in January. And so this year we're not able to hold that convention because of the COVID laws of the state of Minnesota prevented us from doing this. So, and that's where we get our continuing education. Every year we need 6 continuing ed credits for the state of Minnesota through the Department of Health, which is a regulatory for the well drilling. And so we're not able to have those continuing education credits. So we talked with the National Groundwater Association and they have what they call this a university, and it's an online course. So we were able to set up some courses with them so our members could get their credits through the National Groundwater Association, sponsored by the Minnesota Water Well Association. They could get their continuing ed credits to hold their license for the next upcoming year. So that was pretty neat the way that all worked out.
So back to bore and well drilling. Just to give us a sense of the business, how big is your team and what does your drilling equipment fleet include?
Well, right now we're pretty much like everyone else, with labor. We're short of labor. We did lose one guy to COVID. He came down with COVID and he had some after effects on it where he was disabled to able to work again. And so he was not able to come back to work. Sad to say, the guy, his lifestyle totally changed. I feel sorry for the guy. So we've been trying to hire some people, and we did hire a new guy here a couple of weeks ago. And man, I can tell you, it's really made a big difference getting the workload off, because we're just down to Dennis and I and one other guy, and 3 of us trying to run out, that equipment and everything. It takes quite a bit. And, we got 2 Garner Denver well rigs. Dennis runs one well rig and I run the other one. And then we usually like to have a guy with us on each of those rigs. And then it's nice to have one other guy to kind of do the service work. So we're looking for one more guy, which would really be nice. And like I said, we have 2 Garner Denver 1500 well rigs. We got 5 T-Smeals. We got 3 of those. And then we have 2 backhoes and a case trencher. And then we got the water trucks and all the other equipment for support equipment and stuff. So yeah, we got a lot of equipment there. If you just need the people to run everything, And then we got a girl, Karen, that's our office girl in the office. And she's there in the morning from 8 to noon. She answers the phone calls, does the payroll and does the bookkeeping. And, without her in there, we couldn't do it at all, but so yeah, keeps us busy. And, we've been just super busy and trying to keep up, and it's been tough, but we're making it work.
Yeah. So my next question is, how would you describe your role as co-owner? And I was curious as to how much you were involved in the field. It sounds like you are definitely involved on the field end, but if you could elaborate on the role you play in the business.
Yeah, Dennis and I, we take equal roles in the business. We're both in the office. We go out and see customers. We do the estimating. And like I said, he runs one well rig and I run the other. So he's got guys with us, So yeah, it's pretty much even keel between the two of us. And we pretty much run the whole show, basically, We're a small business. And so.
So story time. What would you say is your most memorable water well installation project and why?
So yeah, we had a lot of water well jobs that have, you know, been interesting, but we were involved with a Minnegasco gas company, and we're drilling exploration holes and water test holes, water observation wells, and then also did some permanently gas production wells. We did those. We started with them in the mid 1960s. We had one rig that was on them all the time that ran 24 hours a day, 5 to 7 days a week, it depend. And we drilled hundreds of wells for them, you know, exploration holes, and like I said, production wells and observation wells. And it was a lot of fun. I was involved with that the whole time. Depth-wise, the wells, it ran from 500 feet to 1,500 feet. So it was some very interesting work, and it was a lot of fun. You know, because I was young, you know, at that time, in my 20s and 30s, and you know, and that lasted to about mid-90s is when we finally finished up doing the drilling for them. But we do do some water test pumping for them. We do that every year. We do some testing of some water wells, a dozen or so every year. We got to test pump them, and they take water samples and check things out. So we're still involved with them a lot, and they've been a good company to work with over the years. And so we're very fortunate to have them at that time.
In what key ways has the industry changed since you started?
Oh, rules and regulations. Man, things that the well drillers, we have to deal with, you know, for rules, regulations. You know, we got OSHA, we got DOT, the Minnesota Department of Health, so we work with our licensed teams with, you know, and there's a lot of rules, regulations, a lot of paperwork. My gosh, it almost takes one person in the office to do all the paperwork. And, you know, it's not the way it used to be. A lot of these changes have been good. I mean, I will admit they need to see some changes. We need rules and regulations. But that's the biggest thing. I've really seen change a lot. The well drilling hasn't really changed much over the years. It's basically the same. Pump service has been pretty much the same. And I remember when we started out working a lot of stroke pumps and the old piston pumps and reciprocating pumps and now it's all pretty much submersible pumps. And, you know, I go back then now we got constant pressure systems, and they've been going over great. We sell a lot of those. And, you know, keeping up with that, I'm young enough that I'm able to, you know, keep up all that stuff and program the drives and everything. It's never been a problem. But, it's basically the same. You got to get the water from down below up to the top and have plenty of sustainable water and good pressure and.
Thank you. So last, what sources do you turn to for inspiration and education?
You know, I pretty much turn to the associations, the Minnesota Water Well Association, the National Groundwater Association. They have a lot of programs you could, do online or read up on. And we go to our convention, you know, we get our continuing education from all the manufacturer representatives of new things that come out and, ideas and how to make things better. And pretty much that's where I get my education from, pretty much all that and inspiration, the positive stuff, knowing that I know what's going on, what I have to do to make the job and work right, you know, without any difficulties. And
well, thank you, Rodney. Before we go, where can our listeners connect with you or learn more about Born Well Drilling?
Well, we do have a website. It's bornwelldrilling.com. Our phone number is 507-835-1740. And you can reach me on my email, which is rdborn@q.com. Our address location is 1401 South State Street, Waseca, Minnesota.
Perfect. Listeners, for more drilling industry insights, visit our website, thedriller.com. You'll also find additional episodes of the show there or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Boring Conversations and hit subscribe. Until next time, this has been Boring Conversations. Thank you for listening.